Thank you for buying this expensive record. Actually, when I say expensive, I don't refer to the price you paid for it. I mean, it was expensive to make. You know, with the unions and the artwork on the jacket and everything. However, in producing this record, we followed all of the more modern market research advice, and we followed very closely who once said, you can fool some of the people you aim for. Actually, though, records like this may soon become the last refuge for the individual performer, or the individualist performer, because everything else is so formularized. It's a big collaboration, you know, all of the other art forms. You tune in television at any time, and what do you see? You see two fellas who 3 years ago were movie extras, and they're saying to each other, I'm going to kill you. You ain't going to kill me. I'm going to kill you. And so on, like that. And, of course, this applies to most of the other conventional art forms, too. Plays today are usually about misfits of one type or another. That's the popular thing. One of the more recent ones was about a man who was born with his head on backwards. And it created quite a problem, actually. You know, people would say goodbye when they met him. And he looked funny. This fellow looked funny walking around with his head on backwards like that. He was a nice fellow, you know, but awful messy in the bathroom. They put a rear-view mirror in. And, of course, movies today, the more adult movies are all about neuroses and very exotic psychological problems. I saw a movie the other day that was about a man that didn't know the difference between arson and incest. And he set fire to his sister. And then, of course, there's books. You can always read books. A few people do. And all of the books are alike. They're historical romances, or they're about the Civil War. You know, every week, 14 pounds of books about the Civil War come out. And I read one that I like very much. It was called The Battle of Butternut Sink. And it was about the famous Confederate 89th Brigade, still known in the South as the famous Retreatin' 89th. And it starts out at about April the 4th, 1864, and the four companies of the 89th are deployed in a hollow square around a central point where they had to still. And the commander of the 89th, who was the hero of the story, the first part, it's a long book, was General Umbilicus. And on the morning of April 19th, the Yankees, about eight divisions, snuck up on the other side of the Rapinoe River. And at first, General Umbilicus didn't know they was there. His intelligence wasn't too good. And about 2 days later, though, he heard the hammering while they were putting up the A&P store, and he got wind of it. So then General Umbilicus, who was a strategist, snuck back behind his own lines to plan strategy. Snuck back to New Orleans, matter of fact. And he later married a woman with a wen on her neck and 20 acres of timberland. It's an exciting chapter. But then then the command of the 89th passed on down to the G2, or intelligence officer, who was Major Bang. Major Lily Lou Bang, it was. Who was a famous Confederate spy. And Lily Lou had a 44 bust, which even in those days was something. And Lily Lou managed to sneak behind the Yankee lines, disguised as a boy. Which wasn't easy. But in some way or other, the Yankees managed to penetrate Lily Lou's disguise. And they captured her, and it presented a problem for the Yankees. They figured she was a spy, and they had to put her to death. But they didn't like to shoot a woman with a 44 bust, you know. And they didn't like to hang a woman. And while they were debating what to do, a corporal from Brooklyn came up with a pretty novel suggestion. But the line got too long. And however, Lily Lou did manage to escape after incapacitating several companies. And the book had a happy ending, you know, it was decadent. Like it. I should like to do something a little more elaborate now. To mention a theory I have, people often say you can't generalize. This is foolish because all sciences are merely bodies of generalizations, botany, chemistry, all like that. And this theory I have is that I can tell who anybody is if I know their name. This, I think, completely outdates Freud and astrology and all the other common scientific methods of analyzing personality types. When we were young, back in West Virginia, we didn't know anything about, sublimation or hostility, but we could define personality types by saying so-and-so is a jerk, or so-and-so is a keen first baseman. And this works with almost anybody. You get the name you deserve, or your name influences you. You know, this is not the name you sign on checks, but the name you're called by the people that really know you. Like, if somebody is called named Oscar Ryan, and they're not an Oscar, they get called Moose or Chuck or Ryan, something like that. Oscar, incidentally, is a CPA who wishes he was a doctor. But as you can see, if somebody is called, named Charles, and everybody calls him Charles, they say, hey, Charles, that's a lot different from Charlie. He's a different fellow. Charles is a fellow who uses dental floss. You know, Charlie will give you a horse in a sixth race. And it works with all types of names. Girls named Mary, if they're called Mary, they must be sweet and demure. Claire wears tight dresses and insists men light her cigarettes. Flora has a big bust and is ashamed of it and wears a dickie all the time. But if you call out any name, I'll tell you who the person, who they are. Just give me any name and I'll tell you.
Victor.
Victor is a fellow, the first time you see Victor, you're very impressed with him because he looks very efficient and very intelligent. Whenever you go to court, Victor is always the other guy's lawyer. Your lawyer is always a friend of Herbie's, who still carries the same briefcase he had in college. Herbie, incidentally, Herbie is a fellow that you always ask to wait outside while you're going to see someone. You say, Herbie, wait for me a minute. I want to go in here. You know, Herbie will always go with you, but you're always asking to wait outside. Who else?
Sylvia.
Sylvia has a platinum hair or a platinum streak in her hair, and she's a very neat dresser, and she's a little hippie. And no one makes out with Sylvia, and it's not because she's not sexy. She just doesn't want to get mussed up.
Andrew
is a fellow who, when he has a date with a girl, he always feels he has to come on, you know, real big, and he makes suggestive remarks and gets real fresh. And then as soon as the girl puts him down, then he can relax and be himself. Yeah? You know, once one girl took Andrew up, and immediately he started sneezing and broke out in spots. Who? Athanasius?
No, Athanasius.
Athanasius. Yeah, a boy named Athanasius. a boy? Okay, if your name is Athanasius, it means you have a very dominating father, and you'll end up working at some unimportant job all your life. You're going to get a watch at the end of 48 years. Unless you're Greek. Yeah. And if you're Greek, Athanasius is an okay name, you know? Yeah. And there's no such thing as an unimportant Greek, right?
Yeah.
Audrey gives the impression she's interested in action, but nothing.
Freddy
is a guy who's always coming in and he said, where's the action? And Freddy's always asking Dick or Gordy, you know, and they don't know. The only one who knows where the action is Jim, and he's there. he's not about to take them, huh?
How about Brad?
Brad is a fellow who's always asking you to somebody else's house, and when you get there, they're not very happy to see either one of you.
Vincent
has all his clothes tailor-made and makes real terrible puns.
Joanne.
Lives in the suburbs with Harold. And Joanne is very pretty. She's always very, very big at making coffee for everybody, and no one knows, you know, whether she cheats on Harold or not.
Christine
was the first girl in her high school class to dye her hair blonde. And Christine was also the first girl in her high school class to go out with a married man. Then later she got married herself, and then she started going out with single guys.
Harriet
goes around telling everybody she's a virgin, but no one cares much. Judy? Judith is a girl. Judy wears a ponytail and never gets over being cheerleader. You know? Judith is a girl who comes from a Midwestern town, and she's engaged to usually Ted or Kenneth. And when they graduate, she decides she wants to go to New York for a year to make sure they really love each other, engaged, you know? And she goes and she spends a year in New York, and she can't do any better, so he comes and gets her.
Gentlemen.
Who? Melvin? If somebody's really called Melvin. Melvin takes pills. Who?
Ira.
Ira is a guy who is sort of jerky, but he acts like, he doesn't know it, and he acts like Cary Grant.
Harry.
Harry always knows where to get some more ice.
Lloyd.
Lloyd is a fellow, when the girls go out with Lloyd, you know, girls love Lloyd because he's always a gentleman and he never makes passes or never asks them up to his place. Lloyd is Gaylord's roommate. And Gaylord is interior decorator and they live upstairs. And, you know, they always live on top floor and they paint their bathroom black. And the neighbors are always complaining about the screaming and door slamming late at night.
Lois.
Lois makes artificial flowers. She has a little kit and she was going to sell them, but she couldn't sell them, so now she makes them and gives them to her friends, and they say, gee, these are good, why don't you sell them?
Georgia.
Georgia is the one at a party that makes all the other wives mad because she kisses all the husbands. And then she dances the rumba the way they do in Cuba, you know.
Marcel.
A girl named Marcel.
Oh, a boy named Marcel.
Lots of luck. No, actually, a boy named Marcel is probably an assassin. You know, he's got to learn to fight. Bonnie, oh, Bonnie is a good one. Bonnie is a girl that the guys that kissed Bonnie in high school will never forget it because Bonnie smelled great. You know, and sometimes maybe, you know, 20 years later, some of these guys get a chance, they're in the same town, the chance to look up Bonnie again. And they figure to themselves, you know, I'm a nut, you know, this is 20 years ago, what did I know in high school, you know, she's bound to be fat and dowdy and everything. And they look, you know, and they meet Bonnie again, you know, and she's still the greatest thing they ever saw. You know, and they think about the barbecue pit and the dogs and, you know, the commuting, and they feel lousy for about a month.
Prunella.
Who?
Prunella.
Prunella should not be taken internally.
Louise.
In women's clubs, Madeline is always the president, and Madeline gets all the credit for everything. But Louise and Grace and Helen do all the work. Hank is on a bowling team with Ed and Gus and Pete. And Bruce is a 8-year-old boy who bites.
Nicky.
Who?
Nicky.
Nicky is the one who makes out with all the girls that Gordy lies about. Nicky has curly hair, you know, he's a swinger.
Josh.
Who?
Josh.
Josh. Josh is a real nice guy. Josh. Josh just had his teeth all pulled. Josh is a fellow that'll lend you money if you're in trouble.
Jerry.
Jerry always has nicks on his face from shaving. There's a lot of ambition. Jerry is very big with second-rate girls. Well, Diane gives the impression she's interested in action, and she is. Willie, anybody who's still called Willie when they grow up, gets taken advantage of by women. You know, some woman picks him out and marries him, and nobody can remember his name after that.
Rex.
Rex. Rex is not allowed on the sofa. No, Rex also is a name. A man named Rex is an old guy who wears a bow tie and was a hipster back in 1923.
Lance.
Lance, he's you're okay if you're named Lance, because Lance is tall, he's the athlete, you know, he's the one the girls all dig. Miserable.
Arthur
has a dinner once a week with Lee, and they get separate checks. Arthur carries the New York Times around, but he doesn't read it. Much different from Artie. Artie can get you blender parts wholesale. Who?
Lillian.
If a girl's named Lillian, she's always telling her troubles to someone. You know? If she's called Lil, though, everybody tells her their troubles to her.
Jane.
You name a girl Jane, Jane is a little heavy around the hips. And Jane is friendly rather than flirty, you know? People's like, and she still wears the same hairdo she did in the 12th grade. Who? John. Well, if your name, there's a couple of names that don't affect you much. If you're called John, nothing much could be wrong with you. You know, or Bob or Bill. Mickey is a short fellow who wears a bow tie, and he's the guy when you have a fight with your girl at a party, Mickey takes her home later. Icky?
Dicky.
Oh, Dicky.
No, Dicky.
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 Yeah. Well, Dick.
Vicky.
Oh, Vicky. Vicky. Oh. Vicky is a selective swinger. She picks out guys, and guys later try to start up with her again, but nothing happens. You know, she's cool.
Beverly
tosses her hair, and she laughs a lot.
Michael.
Michael is a handsome 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Mickey is a short fellow who wears a bow tie. And Mike is a big guy with hairy wrists and a silver identification bracelet. Mike always goes with the same girl and he never talks to her. Just at the party, he says, "Come on, honey, it's time to go home." That's all he says.
Edward.
Zelda.
Who?
Zelda.
Zelda. Zelda always picks out a movie star to imitate and look like, and it's always Audrey Hepburn, and she never makes it.
Eric.
Eric is a fellow who confuses all the girls at the party by flirting with all of them. He combs his hair awful lot like him.
Clint.
Who?
Clint.
Noel.
Noel.
Noel comes down the chimney on Christmas. No, Noel becomes a real sophisticate. He's a guy who, when he speaks to the waiter in French, he's not kidding around.
Girl.
Oh! Noel, if she's French, she's okay. If she's in the Midwest, she's very dominating. Pamela is good. Pamela is a tall girl who has a job as an editor or something on a trade magazine, like the Foot Digest. And Pamela pastes covers of the New Yorker on her wall. And you know, some girls, like when you make out with some girls, you're sorry the next day. With Pamela, you're sorry while it's going on. Everyone in the world is named Max. They just don't know it. But who? Clint is a fellow who always tells you how much everything he owns costs. But this goes to show you how important names can be. And so if you have any children, please don't name them Nikita or Mao or anything like that, because we've got enough trouble already, okay?